Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Thanks for singing with me. It's nice to sing with you. Speaking of me and you, I wanted to talk about us this evening, about you and me. There was a restaurant I was at in a cafe in Toronto several years ago. I don't know how many, but within the last 15 years. Michelle was in a play, and her mother and I were waiting for her to come out to meet with her just at one point in the middle of the day. It was a matinee, I think, to meet with her in this cafe nearby. Beautiful summer day. And we're sitting there, and a few people sitting around in this outdoor terrace, patio. I don't know if terrace is said or not in English here. And then there's a mom and a few young kids sitting over here, and then there are a couple of young business people sitting. I don't know what they do. I don't know. It's business people, you know, smartly dressed and what have you, sitting at a table nearby. And the young adults were speaking a blue streak. They were a very foul language, swearing left and right, and not unintelligent. They sounded intelligent, but, you know, swearing a lot. And I was thinking, boy, I remember when, and I guess I'm getting older, when one might go, oh, wait a minute, there are a few young kids here. Maybe now's not the right time to use this language. Maybe I should, you know, I think it's right or wrong to use those words, it doesn't matter, but maybe I should be more conscientious and be aware that there's another family here and think about what they feel. And there are worse examples of this, but this just came to mind this evening. And I was thinking about that and going, you know, if I had spoken up and said to him, the man in particular, hey, are you aware that there are some kids here? I wouldn't be surprised if the answer were, don't tell me what to do. I'm an adult. And I would get that. I understand that. I don't want people to tell me what to do when I'm in public. I think I know how to behave in public. So there's that attitude. Don't tell me what to do. Don't involve yourself in my life. And the flip side of that, and there's a respect of the person, right? There's a certain respect, which is kind of nice in a way, but what about the outward idea? When am I respecting you with how I'm behaving as well? In that, you know, if you respect my bubble, do I respect yours? And next, in this week's parasha, this week's Torah reading, it's Parashat Naso. And tomorrow we'll be reading it, and we read the world's most ancient recorded blessing, the priestly blessing, right? Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. May God, Adonai, bless you and guard you. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha. Oh, I might as well sing this for you, right? Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. That's may Adonai bless you and guard you. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha. May Adonai make his face shine onto you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up God's face unto you and give to you peace. It's a beautiful three-part blessing that the priests, the Kohanim, used to give in the temple to all the people of Israel. And to this day, it's a tradition that's kept in one way or another. In our synagogue, the cantor sings it, whoever is leading the service will sing it, and we answer, Ken Yiratzon, we agree. And in some congregations, they have what you call duchanim, where the kohanim, the priests, come up, descendants of the priests come up, cover themselves, and do the Spock sign, you know. He got it from the kohanim. And bless the congregation. And we don't look. We just take in the blessing. And it's a beautiful idea. Now, think about the language of prayer. Aleinu l'shabeach, and I want you to think of the commonality. Aleinu l'shabeach ladon hakol. One prayer. En keloheinu, en kadoneinu. Another prayer. Tonight we'll be saying, Hashkivenu Adonai Elecha. What's something that's in common with all of these? Nu, us, right? Hashkivenu. That's plural for all of us. And in the blessing that the priests gave to all the people of Israel that were gathered there and the visitors, may Adonai bless you, it's in the singular. Yivarechecha Adonai v'shmerecha. And I was struck by that, and I was thinking about that. At the most, probably the busiest times of the year in our calendar and in biblical days, where you have the most number of people in the temple, they're saying something in the singular. And it's this beautiful idea of the contrast. When we pray, generally, our entire siddur, and for those visiting us, our Saturday morning siddur and our prayer book is much thicker than this. And there's a lot of prayers. And they're all about praying for us as a group, as a collective community. We pray for each other. We pray for us. We don't pray for me. And that's sort of why the Yizkor is so profound for so many people, because that's a moment that you can pray for you. It's an individual prayer. Sephardim, by the way, don't have Yizkor. We don't do it. And it was new to me too it's new. It's foreign to Sephardic culture. We don't have that. Ashkenazim do. And it's a profound moment for many people. And it's a me moment. And when I think about it, and there's a beauty in that too. But to me, Judaism, as it is today in particular, and I say this, and I can go on, and I won't, but when I look at moments where there are, adolescents in high school, and there are moments where there's some terrible crimes that happen, I don't want to begin to dissect all of it, but there are moments where I think there's an impact of feeling disconnected, of feeling like I don't belong, like feeling like already through adolescence, it's hard to feel like you belong. Sometimes we feel marginalized. And in a school of 1,000 people, more so. And in a school where we try, in environments, we try not to, I'm going to stray away from all that stuff because there's so much more to say. But there's an element in the culture that we live today of disconnecting. We connect with each other in social media. We talk to each other, but there's an anonymity to it. There isn't this personal touch to it. I hear from older generations, I used to be able to leave the money outside my door for the milkman and things like that. And I don't want to say that we should live in those days today. Times do change. But this idea of feeling like my life has an impact on your life, how you live your life has an impact on mine, is a profound idea in Judaism. It's a part of our prayers. And when we pray on Yom Kippur for each other's sins, we list the sins that I suspect that we're not all individually guilty of, but we still say them because as a group, we're connected. And this beautiful prayer that we have, this beautiful blessing that the priest, the Kohanim, that the Bible has, the Torah accounts, Yevarechecha Adonai. Whatever's happening, may God still bless you and guard you individually while you're in this group. So there's this balance, and he give you individually peace. And it's hard to find that individual peace if the group doesn't have peace. So the language of the prayer really captures this idea about finding the balance between me and you, between the prayer and blessings for me and for you, so that we can have this balance and it becomes an us. And we pray for each other and see ourselves individually in the larger collective, which is what community is all about. And we continue with the service, with Baruch Hu.